Perhaps you noticed the Alleluia verse is the verse that's one of the favorites of our founder, Father Francis. It's also on the memorial wall there in the garden. The Word of God is living and effective, able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. The Word of God pierces the heart. The Word of God addresses the inner life. Let's see how this applies to today's readings. In today's gospel, Jesus is invited to the home of a Pharisee. One of the striking things in the gospels is how often Jesus eats with people. It's one of his characteristic actions is joining people for a meal. Most often he's accused of eating with the wrong people. He eats with tax collectors and sinners, and that's considered scandalous. But in this case, he eats at the home of a Pharisee, and that would not be scandalous because that's where a rabbi, a holy man, should go to eat. It turns out that the Pharisee is still scandalized, even in his own home, because Jesus didn't perform the proper purification ritual before eating. And this, and certainly Jesus did that deliberately, because he is always trying to reach the heart. He's always trying to get beyond the letter of the law and get to the place where people are really responding to God or not, which is interior. And so the Pharisee is amazed that Jesus doesn't take care of the exterior requirements. And Jesus turns it around and says, you're emphasizing the importance of exterior observances, behavior, but you're not taking care of your inner life. He uses the comparison with a cup or a dish. You cleanse the outside of cup and dish. Inside, you are filled with plunder and evil. So it's a instruction or reminder that there's more to life than what is exterior behavior or exterior or appearances. There is the inside of the dish, inside of the heart, which is where the Word of God is intended to be applied or intended to be effective. The Word of God is living and effective, able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. So the Pharisee can't discern the heart of Jesus. He's missing it. But Jesus can certainly discern the heart of the Pharisee and our hearts as well. And he warns us not to be caught up in external observances only. Not that it's bad, but that it's not sufficient. Maybe we can see in this Pharisee another example of what was on display in Sunday's gospel. Remember, the gospel was about the great wedding banquet, and everybody was invited, and some people didn't go at all. They didn't even respond. But there was one man who did go, but then he didn't wear the proper garment. Remember that? It was a little bit disturbing. If you don't understand it, it sounds like a guy got pulled in off the street, and then he gets blamed for not being dressed properly. That's not what it was. The man was making a show of being present at the wedding feast, but he wasn't willing to change. He was, you could say, concerned with the outside of cup and dish. He wants to look like he's responding to the invitation, but interiorly, no, he's really not. He's not, his inside is filled with plunder and evil. So this Pharisee in today's gospel and that man in the parable last Sunday are teaching us something similar. Well, how do we deal with the inner life? How can we get rid of the evil that lodges in us? What about our sin condition? What about our plunder and evil? We can't just pretend it's not there or say, no, I'm not. You know, and look at the outside of the dish and say, well, see, I'm fine now. No, something has to be done to cleanse the inner life. Now, we know that we can't cleanse ourselves by ourselves. That's another error of the Pharisees, right? The Pharisees thought that by following the law well enough, then you make yourself righteous. And that's exactly wrong. We can't do it. We need the grace of God. We need the power of Jesus' death and resurrection to set us free from sin and death. And that is available to us in abundance. Like we heard in on Sunday, the abundant feast is available to everybody, good and bad. We don't have to make ourselves pure before we approach God. What we have to do is open ourselves to God so that he can make us pure. But Jesus gives us another clue in this gospel about how to cleanse our inner life. He just drops it in there kind of suddenly. But as to what is within, he says, give alms. And behold, everything will be clean for you. You wouldn't think that that would be enough to give alms, meaning do something, do it, some expression of love for others. Alms is, yes, you can make donations if you have money, but it's any expression of love for another, any good you can do for your neighbor is alms in the broad sense. The point being, love of neighbor is part of our own inner cleansing. Why is that so? Because if we love God, if we allow the love of God to work in us, then we will allow that love to overflow in us, from us, to the lives of others. And if we're not doing that, well, then we're not really participating in the wedding banquet. We're not really cleansing or allowing the inner life to be cleansed. We're somehow stopping the process. So giving alms or love of neighbor, I'm using the broad term, love of neighbor is part of being a disciple. We can't just say I love God and not love our neighbor. But Jesus puts it this way, give alms and everything will be clean for you, meaning the inner life too. Now St. Paul, remember, was a Pharisee. He's the author of this letter to the Romans, great letter to the Romans, we're going to be reading for a while. We're still in the first chapter here, first reading. St. Paul was a Pharisee, so he knew very well the mentality of the Pharisee at whose home Jesus was eating that day. He knew how attractive it was to think of yourself as being righteous by following the law, because that's how he lived. In fact, he did it so well, he thought he was better than everybody else. You know how he boasts about his former life as a Pharisee. I did even better than my contemporaries. But Paul, by the grace of God, learned that that is wrong. And in fact, he was completely wrong. In fact, he came to realize that's all rubbish. That's a lot of garbage. He says it. Everything I thought made me so great is worthless. What's important is faith in Jesus Christ. And this is what he proclaimed. In the letter to the Romans, he gives a very long proclamation of the importance of faith, kind of a theology of salvation by faith. Here he starts it out by saying, this is why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is salvation for everybody, the Jews and the Greeks. It's the truth that the one who lives by faith will live. The one who's righteous by faith will live. Faith is the way to life. After saying that, the importance of faith, he backs up a little bit and starts to speak about reason. A little bit surprising, but he's building a long argument and we're only getting the beginning of it here. What do I mean that he goes back to defending the importance of reason? Well, he says that even before the gospel was proclaimed, there was plenty of evidence that there's a God and that we should submit ourselves to him. Reason alone tells us that there's a God, because there's a creation. And where did the creation come from? There had to be a creator. And so this is what he talks about in this passage. He says that people should know, because ever since the beginning of the world, you can look at creation, and that's evidence of the Creator. Since, he says this, ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes of eternal power and divinity have been able to be understood and perceived in what he has made. His invisible, God's power and divinity is invisible, But there's evidence of it, there's solid evidence of it. So as a result, they have no excuse. We have no excuse either. Just like the man in the parable on Sunday, when he wasn't wearing the wedding garment, he didn't have any excuse. When the king said, well, why are you here without a wedding garment? He didn't have any excuse. But Paul is saying, even on the level of faith, we have no excuse. There's nothing to justify worshiping idols, images of man, of birds, four-legged animals, or snakes. So the decision to turn away from God and worship creatures is a disastrous decision. It leads to our own destruction, to worship the creature rather than the Creator. Now, that is connected to this issue of external and internal cleansing. The way that idolatry works is external reverence towards something other than God, some creature, but interiorly we remain in charge. See, idolatry is not challenging. Idolatry is a way of looking religious without really changing, because the idol doesn't really do anything. We're doing it all, we're making ourselves look holy, but in fact, we remain in charge. Now, none of us here is worshiping four-legged animals or snakes or birds, but all of us, when we turn to anything other than God, are falling into this irrational trap, an evil trap of idolatry. And so St. Paul is warning not only the Romans about this, and he's trying to reach pagans when he's writing to the Romans, meaning non-Jews, but it applies to all of us. If we think that we're making ourselves holy, if we think that some external behavior is going to prove our holiness, our purity of heart, we're falling into a trap. If we think that anything other than God has power to help us, any superstitions, the horoscopes, consulting of spirits or anything like that. No, that's disastrous. It's looking to creatures rather than to the Creator. And reason alone should tell us, wait a minute, but no one else made the heavens. That was the psalm today. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. It's not something that you don't know. It's not a word or a discourse whose voice is not heard. Through all the earth, their voice resounds. And to the ends of the world, their message. Meaning the message of creatures is, give glory to God. So that's the message of today's readings as well. These are readings that are living and effective, and they discern the reflections and thoughts of our hearts. The right response is faith. Faith, because the righteous, it is one who is righteous by faith who will live. Our purity, our holiness comes from God when we respond to His invitation.